this is a really interesting one. The TDSB has schools that are now underused, and some they're almost called ghost schools, which is quite an interesting phrase. Could they help Toronto's housing crisis? And I'm all for creative ways, and I think most people on Toronto City Council, whatever they might disagree about, and disagreement's healthy, they are looking under every couch cushion imaginable, and some of them are staring right in the face. Schools that aren't utilized anymore as property, and the TDSB's got huge deficit, $26.5 million and a $4.4 billion repair backlog. So what could the city do? And it looks like the province and Doug Ford and the Conservative government have to be a little bit lenient in terms of being gatekeepers on this. To explain more, this gentleman was a TDSB trustee for 8 years, so he knows about the policy as it stands right now, and Toronto City Councilor for Scarborough Southwest Ward 20, Parthi Kandoval, joins us. Great to have you back on the show, and I always appreciate you getting up early, Parthi. Thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you, Craig. Good morning. How are you?
I'm really good. When I lay this out, like I said, every good idea, every idea that could potentially raise money and help the city is a good idea. Could some of these schools help the housing crisis?
It's a good question. I think, you know, we've got to look at the progress we've made. You remember a month ago, Ford came into City Hall in the mayor's office and cut a big nine-figure check for infrastructure. It's because we met our housing targets. So I think you got to remember we're making significant progress, both on market rate and affordable. On this question, it gets a little trickier. You know, we've got, as you said, a $4.5 billion renewal repair backlog at the TDSB. To the motion that's coming to council tomorrow is, you know, looking at exempting the city from paying fair market value. That's going to be a tough sell because this school board doesn't receive development charges whenever development goes in the city, which is incredibly important. Our partner in the Toronto Catholic Board sees that. That helps with, you know, replacing boilers, fixing parking lots, paint, like you name it, all the renewal and even, you know, we need to expand a site, right? So the question of not giving the school board enough money or, you know, below market value is a tough question because of that backlog. The reality with neighborhoods is that there's an ebb and flow to population. I remember when I got elected to the school board in 2014, there were schools in the downtown core that were at 40, 50, 60%. And there was actually a push. Ironically, it was the McGinty Wynn years, right? Yeah. And they were pushing us to close. We said, you know, we've got this ebb and flow. The data shows that those schools are now at full capacity. So we're in this. I think we have that discussion. But the reality is we're a booming population. We've got a ton of international students who in 5, 6, 7, 8 years are going to be having families. Right. And I sense that we're going to have a surge in a decade from now, just like we did a decade ago in 2014, of new little ones entering the school system.
Absolutely. These things come in waves, don't they? If you live in a neighborhood and you move there with a young family and all of a sudden that young family, like I see it on my street, there's an awful lot of 16, 17, 18 year olds where there used to be 4, 5, and 6 year olds. I've been there 14 years. So yeah, the elementary school, there's no way it's as full as it used to be. But as you said, we're going to shift the tides a little bit in the next several years, and it'd be a shame to be forced to build brand new schools foundation up as opposed to repair the ones that we have where there's going to be a demand for them.
Exactly. But I think the area that there's a lot of commonality in is it's the new concept. I think we only have two in our city, but we're called podium schools. We've got a school and other community services at the podium of these, you know, towers, and then you've got housing. So I think that's something that happened, you know, with North Toronto, and then recently, a couple of years ago, I think you're building it right now in downtown. So that's an area where you've got your ability to work with the city, build affordable housing, market rate, mixed income, and as well as other community service joining the school. That's the thing. But the other exception, which I think I'm supportive of, is looking at where on the fair, below fair market value question, where there's Indigenous housing. So I think that's an area of conversation, which I think is a little separate. It's a different bucket. And I think there would be support for that.
Parthi Candoval is our guest on Toronto Today on 640 Toronto. You'd know both sides of the aisle. What's the relationship need to be in terms of economics between the city and the TDSB? Can the city ask the TDSB to open the books, to work together, to create some form of joint committee with councillors and trustees to figure out why their deficit is what it is? I get the repair backlog. It's $4.4 billion, right, as I mentioned. But the idea they're running a $26.5 million deficit, could the city ever point and say, is this redundant? Do you need to spend money on that? Or is that just not the city's jurisdiction?
So I would venture it's not our place as a city to tell the school board where they should be spending their money and how to address that $26 million deficit. I think they're going through their budget process like we did earlier this year. It's obviously a different timing, and they're in correspondence with the ministry, who does have that oversight, right? But I think on the question of working together, we do. I actually chair the city school board's advisory committee, and I think we're seeing a lot of staff-to-staff communication. Even as a committee, we're doing good work and advancing, yesterday's event with the mayor and the premier advancing cricket. And that's something that's involving, a tri-partnership of the province investing, the city making investments, and of course, working with the school boards where, we push recreational sport activities. So that's certainly happening. Conversations and building that rapport to see where we can work together. But on the land value question, that's before the province completely.
Before you go, I note in the story, Bruce Davis was the former TDSB chair, and he indicates in the story that's on CBC's website that a lot of employees just can't hack living in Toronto anymore. So that affects the recruitment and retention are a couple major issues for teachers and for boards right now. And I'd make the case, sometimes it isn't even just about money. It's the working conditions, and if you don't enjoy your job, if you don't enjoy it, an extra $3,000 or $4,000 gross a year probably isn't going to change your mind. But there's a lot of factors with making sure that, especially in Toronto proper, Parthi, and where you are, obviously in Scarborough, we get people that want to teach, they're good at it, and they see it as a career, not just a pit stop.
Exactly. And I think keeping Toronto affordable and retaining a middle-class presence is really top of mind. I've seen a bit of a flight. We saw that during COVID with rising property values, and that's a bigger discussion about the financialization of housing. And what, I was talking to a buddy who's in the space, and he said right now homes are being picked up 50% by investors and 50% by families who are, looking to own to property and age there, right? So that's a bigger question of how do we change the market kind of factors that allow and promote, family and home owner-occupied ownership, right? Versus investors who are renting it out, converting into multi-tenant complex. So there's a lot of moving factors, but I think that's a huge theme right now is how do we grow the middle class in Toronto? Because, my concern, it's becoming a tale of two cities. Those who have a lot, and those who kind of serve those, who are in the working class position, right? Yeah. And that's what that doesn't make for a good city. I don't want to sound alarmist and call it Gotham-like, but we don't want to go towards increasing disparity. We need Toronto to be. Toronto was good was because it was always very diverse socioeconomically. You had all classes, all income level.
Yeah, we have to find that balance, if not keep it. Parthi, thanks very much for the time today. I always appreciate it.
Excellent. Thanks, Ray.
Parthi Candoval joining us from Ward 20, Scarborough Southwest.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.